Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Night Tide Podcast. This is not going to be a full-on Tide Talk. What this is going to be is a breakdown of packs. So for those of you that that follow me and what I do, I just got back. Last weekend was the PAX West Conference, and it was my first PAX ever, and it was an awesome experience, but there's definitely a lot of fun stuff that happened, and there were more than a few of you that requested that I do a nightly log. So I figured, you know what, let's just get PAX out of the way as a separate show, and that way we can do the separate nightly log things, or nightly log, the Tide Talk things separately, and cover a wide range of content. So, where to start? PAX. PAX was an incredible experience for so many reasons. But one thing that was not phenomenal. Why are words so hard today? One thing that was not phenomenal was the travel. And I knew the travel was going to suck. Basically, what I had done is little backstory. The wife and I had various disagreements about me going to this show. My wife was not a fan of me wanting to go to this show. She had some opinions as to why she was not a fan of me going to this show, most of which around its cost and the fact that she felt that it was going to be more of a fun trip for me as opposed to a business trip for me, which I vehemently disagreed with. Overall, we did come to a place where she basically just said, all right, go. But part of my trying to make sure that I was being as conservative with my time as possible in doing this show was I limited myself to 2 days, and I also made sure to book my travel in such a fashion that I was minimizing the time away from home. So when I say 2 days, I was at the convention for 2 full days, and I was also only gone for 2 days. I left Thursday night and made my way to the airport, and I had a flight that left at 8:30 or so Pittsburgh time, and I had a connecting flight in Vegas, and then from Vegas to Seattle, and I was supposed to get in to Seattle at like 1:30 in the morning, and my plan was just to hang out in the airport for a few hours, watch some Netflix, see if I could actually, you know, crash, maybe wake up early, get some food, and make my way down into downtown Seattle and hang out at a Starbucks and hopefully catch up with some partners and you know, have kind of a nice little visit time before the show actually started. Well, that didn't quite happen. Basically, what ended up happening was I missed my flight out of Pittsburgh was delayed by an hour, even though it was through the same airline, Spirit, who is now kind of a dirty word for me, because that was just a mess. Basically, they did not hold the flight like they told me they were going to do. The flight that my connector was, they told me it was delayed when I was in Pittsburgh, and it was not delayed. And so when I got to the terminal, myself and between 5 to 10 other people, we're basically all in the same boat that we missed our connector to Seattle by about 5 to 10 minutes. Obviously, that doesn't sit well with any of us. But to be fair, Spirit said, you know, hey, we'll put you up in a hotel. Here's some vouchers for a taxi cab to and from. And also here is, here's a ticket for the next day for our earliest flight out to Seattle from here. Now, all of that normally would have been fine. Normally would have been A-okay. And you know, fairly standard fare. Problem was is that the flight the next day was not until 10:30 in the morning, which means that it's a 2.5 hour flight from Vegas to Seattle. If it had left at 10:30, I would not be getting into Seattle until 1 o'clock or so. Then I would have to take an hour long train ride down to downtown Seattle. So that would have put me down there at, you know, at the very earliest. I mean, again, we're talking, yeah, I get in at 1 and magically I'm at the light rail, right? But it would put me down there basically at 2 o'clock, and the conference only is open from 10 a.m. to 6. So I would have essentially missed more than half a day of the conference and getting to see partners and staff and just interact with people and be at the show. And I paid good money to go to this show. So guess what? That didn't work. And after some very basic negotiations, all of which basically turned into them telling me there's nothing they could do, I booked a different flight on Alaska Airlines that left at 6 a.m. in the morning, got in at 8:30, And I, when it was all said and done, I actually made it into a line for to get into the conference right as it started. So I ended up making it. It was fine. I had to spend a night in Vegas, basically, which sucked. I'm just going to be very blunt. Nothing was open. The only place that I could find open to get food when I was there, and I was starving at that point, was an Annie Ann's pretzel, and thank God they had some pretzel dogs. So I housed a couple of those and tried to fall asleep basically in an airport chair tucked in a corner, hoping that, you know, no one would bother me basically. and other than that, the Alaska flight was fine. But what really pissed me off was the fact that literally the flight was $250 between the hotel, the taxi cab things, and, you know, rebooking my flight. Spirit could have more than just said, fine, we'll refund you, you know, your ticket, which they said they would do. They'd refund that leg, which they couldn't tell me the amount, though, so I still don't know how much money I'm getting back from that. I couldn't tell me when it was actually going to get there, when I was going to see that money, and they also couldn't tell me, or they also refused to basically just make up the difference of whatever that voucher was and the rest of the $250 for my regular ticket, which is really all I asked for to make it right. So really frustrated with Spirit as an airline, but the end result was I was able to make it with, you know, various trials and tribulations to Seattle on time. And getting into PAX was awesome. There was a couple people that were doing a really nice job of trying to make sure that those of us that they knew it was our first show, people like, you know, Xavier, X-Tanrin, and Desi were kind of, you know, especially because they knew me, right? We're trying to make sure that I was good. And I think after the travel of the night before, the travel of the night before, I was so just relieved to be there that the scope of PAX, the amount of people that were at PAX, meeting all the new people and everything like that really just didn't faze me at all. I was so excited just to be there and to be in the element that there was no anxiety. There was no concern. I was just more than anything excited to, you know, to finally see, you know, my mixer partner in crime, my Boomstick, and Zay, and people like Tim, you know, and just so many others. And I'm not going to even try to name names because there's so many people that we saw or that I was able to see there and hang out with. And I want you guys to know, if you ever end up listening to this, that I really appreciated all my time with you. Especially even if it was just 5 minutes or so and we got to have a conversation or a hug, I appreciated that so much because there's this basicness, right, to what we do and how we can interact. And we can have phone conversations, basically, you know, Discord calls, or interact with each other on stream and those types of things. And I feel like we've developed good, meaningful relationships over the years. But to actually see everybody in person and to have everybody feel authentic was such a relief that the people that you feel like you're interacting with are exactly the people you're interacting with, because it's the internet. You never know. I like to take people at face value. I generally think that people, you know, especially in our kind of slice of paradise of Mixer, you know, if you're portraying yourself as a normal human being, that's pretty much what we expect. But I feel like really beyond my expectations, there was no hiccups in terms of, you know, who we are within streaming and who we are as in those various kind of capacities, and to meeting ourselves, you know, meeting each other in person was just very seamless. And I didn't know what to expect, but I was very happy that was the case. I think it further solidified how strong the Mixer community is and how strong my circle of friends is within Mixer. And I really just value you guys so much. And I just can't wait to be able to hang out with you guys more. I think that's the, you know, not to skip ahead, but that's the biggest regret of PAX, is just I didn't have enough time to hang out with you guys more. I really wish that I could have, because for me, once I got to PAX, there were two things that I was concerned with. One, I was supposed to be shoutcasting the Hype Zone Live, which was where I got to shoutcast over Fortnite matches that were happening live at PAX from the Mixer booth. And I did do that from like 4:30 to 6, and that was amazing. I was concerned with the Mixer, which is basically where Mixer gathers all of its partners together and gets a whole bunch of people from the gaming industry that are at the PAX event and kind of puts them together and says, hey guys, chat, make connections, right? Make connections with each other as partners, make connections with these people, you know, as professionals, and see what you can do. Like, you know, we're just going to facilitate. And that was awesome. But that happened immediately after my shift. So that was from 6 to 10 on Friday. And then I was concerned with my panel the next day, where I got to talk about podcasting, oddly enough, you know, big surprise, with my boomstick and Insert Coin Theater or Tim. And I wanted to make sure that I was ready for all those events. But on Friday, especially after having all the shenanigans with the flights and then getting in, and I don't want to say it's definitely was not being overwhelmed, but just like the amount of energy that you're constantly going through because it's just go, go, go all day. I finally got a break and had some lunch with Boom and Zay and Tim and Mimi. Mimi's awesome. Mimi's a nerd. It was nice. Very nice meeting you. You know, like it was just like pirate, like there's a bunch of people that count us. It was great to see. I'm trying to like go back through my brain through all those things, like who all was there, you know, and really just had a really good time meeting everybody. And we got to have some lunch, and then I got back to my hotel finally and checked in. I got the chance to call my wife, and I actually like passed out for like 45 minutes because I was just destroyed at that point, which was actually a really good thing that happened, because I think without that, I would have been even more wrecked than I was. But yeah, so I got back down to the convention, plenty of time to continue to look around and to get set up for the shoutcasting. Oh my God. Shoutcasting Hype Zone Live is one of the most fun things. If you guys get an opportunity to do that as a partner, take them up on that. I got to do that with a bunch of Mixer staff, because I was supposed to be doing it with Uncool Kev, and Uncool Kev unfortunately had issues with his flight. And man, my heart goes out to you, because obviously, samesies, right? So, but I did get to shoutcast with Andy Salisbury and Ethan Rothmel and Shane, who Shane being a partner manager, Ethan kind of being an overall content awesome person, and Andy also being a content awesome person. And I honestly was just, I had the best time. Like, I had so much freaking fun. Andy, Ethan, and Shane were so nice. And we're basically, you know, Ethan was just like, yo, man, I appreciate you doing this. You know, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we got set up. You know, you basically just do this and do your thing, man. We have faith in you. And I was like, all right. And Andy was just so easy. Like, I felt like we clicked really well and had just a real fun time just shoutcasting. And I didn't get to see Shane too much because she was around the floor. But I think we had a really good time just kind of, you know, being able to talk to the various people that were playing. And we had a number of people that won in the Hype Zone, which if you won in the Hype Zone, you got a console. So, you know, that's pretty baller. So, you know, it was just a really good time. And that was one of those experiences that just is going to stick with me for a long time in terms of being one of the highlights so far of my content creator career. And I know it's just an hour and a half at a, you know, PAX conference, and they happen three times a year and all that kind of stuff. But for me to be able to be there as a Mixer partner, as a content creator, which is this ever growing side of my life, right? This ever growing piece of what I do as part of my day to day and as part of my, you know, my overall life experience. It was freaking cool, man. It was just so damn cool to be able to do that and to be able to have that experience and to you know, just have it just be fun. Immediately after that, again, I went to the Mixer, and that was really cool. Basically, as we were winding down after the Hype Zone Live, because the show floor basically had closed at that point at 6, I had a fanboy moment where Deej came over, Deej from Bungie. And he was waiting to walk over with Andy and Stein and Ethan to go to the Mixer. And I like completely regret not talking to him and the people from Bungie more at the Mixer. I was like completely, there was just a big room and it was super loud with a ton of people. And we were just kind of going in a million different directions. But yeah, I wanted to talk to him more. It was a privilege for me to be able to meet Deej. You know, he's someone that I don't want to say like I like follow or anything like that. It's definitely not like a, you know, that type of a situation. But just, you know, Deej has been the face of Bungie for so long, and you know, back to the days of Halo, and you know, Halo 2 and Halo 3 and you know, and all those games that I played so much and valued so much. You know, he's the face of this company that created so many amazing memories for me, and so when you get to see people like that. Even though he's just a normal dude, and he was super nice and very, you know, very fun, and just kind of how you would expect Deej to be, it was just a very quick little meeting. You know, for me, it meant a lot to be able to see and to interact with people that that work on things that bring me so much enjoyment and that allow me to continue to bring enjoyment to you guys, right? To the community and entertain, right? I mean, Destiny 2, and we'll get into this more in kind of the Tide talk, but Destiny 2 has been a phenomenal resurrection and return to Destiny for me, and we'll talk about that later. But anyway, so PAX, right? So I got to the Mixer, talked to a bunch of people. I don't want to go into too many details, but it was a lot of fun. I met some really cool partners and got to meet people and see people and actually sit and chat with people like Hunk and Mr. Joker and just really got to do things. I got to have a nice conversation with Jordan Lane, who was doing some really fun stuff on the Mixer stage the next day, playing some music while they were building a PC. I don't think that's ever been done before, where someone's played live music while a PC is being built, but it needs to be done more because it was a really cool thing. So yeah, so Mixer got done around 10 or so, and I basically shut it down because that was the last thing I was doing for the day. And a lot of people were going out to like various parties around PAX because there are so many. And I was like, you know, one of my agreements with the wife was if it wasn't a Mixer sponsored event, I was just going to, you know, I wasn't going to be a part of it. So, and that was actually worked out great because I was so fried after that entire day. I wore my little, I don't know, I think it's called like a Let's Calm Fit Band or whatever. It's a, you know, just a step counter basically with some other stuff attached to it. But I had gone like almost 11, I think I'd gone over 11,000 steps that day. And you know, that was just for that day because it ticks over at midnight. that's not counting everything that I was doing on the airports and the planes before that happened too. And yeah, so it was a long day with very minimal break, very minimal rest. And I had to, you know, I basically showered, I unpacked and repacked my bag. There was a bunch of swag that I had picked up because earlier in the day I actually kind of tag alonged with Boom to the Dying Light Bad Blood booth where they were letting you play the new Dying Light BR mode, and holy crap, that is a hell of a freaking mode. If you like Dying Light, that mode was super cool. I can't say enough. I got to play a couple matches, and basically you it's a PvEvP as you would expect. There's still zombies. It's Dying Light. It's not a straight BR, but there's 12 people on a map, and as you're running around this various map, you have to pick up or you have to find these little hive clusters and extract some samples from them. So in order to do that, you have to take out the zombies around them, and then obviously you're competing with other players, and extracting those samples helps to level up your character within that specific match and do more. You'll get more health and damage. It also heal you if you have taken damage. So there's a lot of really cool mechanics around those PvE elements, but the goal is to basically get these samples and then to extract. So if you don't, you know, You may not actually have to kill any other players within this mode. You just need to get samples and extract. So I think there's going to be a lot of variety of play styles around how you can win that game. So very cool. But anyway, so I had to unpack and repack my bag to make sure that everything fit, because I got some Mixer swag. I got some swag from, you know, Bad Blood, and I wanted to make sure that everything fit back in my little backpack that I took with me. And it did. It fit great. But like, showered, got everything like situated. By the time it was all said and done, it was like midnight, and I was completely blitzed. I laid down in the bed and I was gone. I woke up to my alarm the next morning, and something very special happened the next morning. I've been coordinating with my buddy Shaq and his son, who I have known for basically 10 years at this point, and we've never met because they've lived out on the West Coast, and I've, for the entire time that I've known them, have been on the East Coast. And it was really cool because they drove to my hotel, and we basically had breakfast that morning. And man, the hotel had an amazing breakfast. Crown Royal, Seattle. Good God, so good. It was Crown Plaza, Seattle. Such a freaking amazing hotel, just to say that, because I walked in and they knew who I was. And at that point, that not have anything else go wrong was fantastic. But yeah, just a great, great experience. The food was great for breakfast, and it was great to be able to just hang out with them. And I hung out with them basically for a couple hours, and I was a little late to the convention that day because I just really wanted to spend more time with them. And I wish I would have had more days to be able to just go hang out with them. Yeah, because I this is a very cool experience, and it made me really happy that I finally got to be able to meet them and hang out and do some stuff. But yeah, so it was a little late getting to the convention center, at least late in terms of it was after it started, right? I wanted to maximize that time. But, you know, we had our panel pretty much right away from when I got there. Our panel was from, like, from 11:30 to 12:30, but there's like prep and setup and stuff you had to do. So I kind of hung around the mixer booth a good bit. And once we got done with our panel, I said, you know what? I really stacked up on that breakfast because it was like an open buffet breakfast that we got. And I loaded up so that I really wouldn't have to do a whole lot of stopping until I needed to kind of get to the airport and maybe get some dinner later in the day. And so I was good. So we got done with our panel. Our panel went great. Tim did a great job driving the panel, and it was just a lot of fun being able to kind of play off of those guys, and people give us really positive feedback on it. So, you know, I hope you guys like it. I really want to try and get a copy of it for Mixer so I could actually post it and post it from the channel and see if I can at least get that. So I need to make sure that I reach out to Wes about that. It's kind of my own mental reminder. But yeah, so after that was done though, I said, all right, this is my last day. This is my last day at PAX. What did I come here to do? Not only did I come here to make connections with staff and with partners, I came here to network my tush off. And there were a very select number of things that based off of what I had seen on the show floor, I wanted to try and do. And I basically had eyes, man. And I was like I was freaking laser focused, right? I went through and first thing I wanted to do was talk to AMD. Next thing I wanted to do was talk to THQ. THQ Nordic. Next thing I wanted to do, talk to Logitech. I wanted to talk to Bungie. I wanted to talk to PlayStation, and I wanted to talk to Xbox about various just things that were going on and see if I could, you know, talk to them about various promotional opportunities and working together and all these kinds of things. And so for the basically the rest of the day, I basically made rounds. I mean, rounds, just going to these different booths, just trying to find the right person. I had a really good conversation with the folks over at AMD. Again, I'm a huge AMD, fan, just because of a variety of reasons, but mainly because when you're building a computer, AMD's really continues to be like a price to performance leader. And so if you want the best of the best of the best of the best of the best, you're going to pay through the nose to get an Intel product that doesn't really outperform the AMD equivalents by much. And again, like I said, you're spending way more money. And so, especially since I built, AMD came out with their new Ryzen platform for their CPUs, I have been extremely happy with my PC and what it does and what it continues to do for me. It's incredible. But anyway, so I wanted to talk to AMD, because again, a lot of love there. So I talked to them. I didn't get a chance to talk to the folks at Logitech. There was a woman who was the main contact on the floor, and she was going. And I came back to that booth like three or four times trying to see if, you know, she was available to talk. And I got her attention at one point, and she was in the middle of wrapping something up. And at the end of the day, like, that was one I kind of just let get away because she was just going all over the place. And so I'm going to try and reach out to her. Since I have her name, I'm going to try and reach out to her separately and see if I can still talk that way. But no, I had a really good talk with the THQ Nordic folks around Darksiders 3 and Generation Zero, and then a new game called Evo Mutant. And oh my goodness, that game looks super cool. And then, of course, I get home, and something they didn't announce at PAX, but something that just got announced yesterday, was that frickin' THQ Nordic acquired the rights to Kingdoms of Amalur, which is another favorite game of mine. And so, yeah, just THQ Nordic is making moves, guys. Keep an eye on them. They are freaking fantastic. Anyway, so I got to talk to them. I didn't get to talk to anybody at Bungie. I couldn't find anybody around the booth. I couldn't talk to anybody at PlayStation because I couldn't find anybody around their booth. I did track down somebody from the Xbox side and talk to them about Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So from more of the Square Enix perspective, but overall, guys, just had some really solid meets and greets and conversations with people. And I talked to a couple other people too, but it was a really good, productive day on the show floor. But by 5 o'clock, I was ready to go. I was ready to get home. And my wife, again, being Pittsburgh 3 hours ahead, it was my son's bedtime. And so I did a real quick Skype call with my wife and my son to kind of say goodnight to him. And it was so loud and he couldn't hear me. And I could barely hear them just because there's so many people. And the reception was bad, but basically I was like, hey buddy, just want to let you know I'm coming home now and I miss you and I love you and all this kind of good stuff. And so we hung up the phone and my wife texts me and she goes, he's crying. And I'm like, oh no. So they call me right back and my son, my 3-year-old son, just missed me so much apparently, which I know, I figured he would miss me, but I didn't know that he would miss me to tears. Apparently, my wife was like, I miss him, is what he said to her after they humped the phone. So they tried to call him back and they called me back and I answered and I tried to, really, really get to a quiet place so I could actually talk to him and let him know that I would be waking him up the next morning and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, man, it wrecked me in the feels, guys. Like the going on the trip and going through all of these different things again was amazing, but being a dad and being a husband and having a family, I've been on business trips before, but it has never been as hard for me to leave and to deal with that as it is now that one, my son's a little older and he knows that I'm gone. Right. And and the fact that I know that I have my younger son there too, who I just miss, right. And my wife, who I just miss, I miss having them. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out in future trips. I definitely want to get to, potentially one conference a year, but I don't know how all that's going to play out because man, do I just really miss my family when I'm gone. And even though, again, I think it's worth it from a content creator perspective to make these connections and to have established these face-to-face relationships with, especially with Mixer staff, it still doesn't change the fact that it sucks to leave your family. So, there's that. So it affected me a lot more than it had in the past going on, different business trips for work. And so I don't know. I just got to be cognizant of that. But I did tell him, I said, buddy, I'll be there in the morning. So we hang up with him. I get over to the airport. I got plenty of time at this point because I was really going to try and push it. I was going to try and push it to 5:30 before I left or 5:45 and get myself to the airport around 6:45 because my plane left like a little after 8. But I was done. I was like, all right, I've done everything I came to do. I just tried to hunt some people down and say goodbye. I didn't get to everybody that I wanted to because you can't ever find anybody at PAX, hardly ever. But I was able to catch a good number of people and say bye and give people some hugs and stuff. And that was good. So, the sad thing was I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to Boom. I got to say goodbye to Zay, but Boom was streaming from the Elgato booth like a boss. But he was streaming in the middle of the time when I was, trying to leave and I couldn't get his attention because he was in the zone. I couldn't get his attention to say goodbye. So, and he couldn't have gotten out either. He was streaming. He was doing the business. He was making moves. He's got to do the things. So it was a little, again, some things that were bittersweet about that, but that's also the nature of the beast, right? There's a lot of busyness going on. A lot of people trying to do different things, especially those shows. And I mean, honestly, like it's incredible the amount of hustle that I saw all the partners putting in. There were so many people that were coming around to the Mixer Partner Lounge booth that were, either fans or people that we know or, like all of those different things. And everybody was so nice and gracious to talk with everybody. There were people that were curious about the platform that we were talking to, and people that were coming and actually standing because the booth where we had the panel, the podcast panel, was kind of elevated a little bit. But kind of looked out into a good section of the show floor and people were coming and just listening. They were actually coming and listening. People that, again, may not have had any kind of, connection with Mixer at all prior to that. And they were actually able to come and listen and see what everybody was doing. And there was a ton of stuff that was going on that stage. Both the days, or actually all the days that we were there, but the 2 days I was there, especially there's just constantly stuff going on. So it was really nice to see Mixer have that presence and have people, be engaged with us as a platform. And that was again, it's very cool. Lots of little cool takeaways, but yeah, so I got to the airport and I got myself some food. I didn't have any coffee while I was in Seattle, which is kind of sacrilege for me because I would have figured that I would have been hitting up Starbucks left and right, but I didn't want to leave the convention. I didn't, there was nothing that was to or from my, on my way to my hotel or not, and nothing that was to and from my way to you know, to the airport. So I missed out on Seattle Starbucks. I guess that just means I have to go back. It means I just have to go back and have to, you know, get some coffee while I'm there and have a mecca to, you know, the original Pike's Place. So anywho's, but yeah, so I got to the airport, you know, got on my flight, everything was on time, thank God. And, I got off my flight and, you know, I got to my connector in Vegas and made that, you know, just made that just in time. It was fine. And, I could gripe a bunch more about little nuances on those flights, but I'm not gonna, cause it's really not important. But I get into Pittsburgh when I'm supposed to, you know, a little after 6 a.m. By the time I get to my car in extended parking, it's 6:30. And, guys, like I drove home and I get there and I was thinking about stopping off and picking up breakfast for my family, before I got there, but I really wanted to make sure that I got there before my son woke up. And I knew with him being, you know, excited for me to get home, that that might be a possibility where he would be waking up earlier than normal. So I just went straight home and I went and I was like, "Hey buddy." And he looked at me and he was so tired. I think I woke him up mid dream. He was like, daddy, you got small and got lost in the grass. And I was like, "What are you talking about, kid?" "What are you talking about, buddy?" And he was just completely out of it. But then he basically like reached up with his arm and put his arm around my neck and like pulled me down onto the bed and just kind of cuddled me for a little bit. And he was just really happy that I was home. So, then my other son, my youngest son, must have noticed that I was home, because he was up and he was like, "Yo, dad, come in here, say hi to me too." So I went and said hi to him and my wife got up and then we got some breakfast. But yeah, I mean, overall, leaving Thursday night, getting back Sunday morning before anybody was even awake, I limited my time there, and PAX was just an incredible experience. If I had to say, what would I do, you know, next time? I think a lot of the takeaways for PAX for me were this. One, limiting what you pack was actually a big awesome thing for me. Like only having my backpack around and having to lug that around with me kind of sucked because it was a bit heavy. But overall, the fact that I didn't have luggage, the fact that I didn't have to check anything, I didn't have to wait for anything when I was, you know, traveling in and off planes, and it was super easy to get through, you know, TSA. That stuff made life super easy. I also had like Airborne that I had bought, like little chewable tablets. I was popping those like crazy, and thus far I have avoided the PAX pox. So I think that was also a kind of a good takeaway, is, you know, just keep popping vitamin C while you can, while you're there, if you're going to a show. I can say this about PAX. I don't want to say I was nervous, right? But we had the Jacksonville, you know, shooting at a gaming event just prior to this, right? A week, within the same week as when PAX is supposed to happen. And that made a lot of people nervous, including me. And I knew, like, security was definitely very visible at PAX. But, you know, that doesn't stop those fears from lingering in the back of your head. But I can honestly say that the entire time that I was at PAX, I did feel safe, which was nice. And even though there were a ton of people, and I do mean a ton of people at PAX, there were just as, you know, everybody was in this really kind of calm nature and had this calm air about them. And, you know, where you would think that there might be pushing and shoving or people really anxious to get in. And there were, you know, people anxious to get in, but everybody was really civil. There was people bringing their kids and, you know, people obviously dressed up in various cosplays and things like that. And to be around so much kind of positive energy and excitement around games and the industry and these stream platforms and all this kind of stuff. Like it was such an energizing experience to go there and know that we all come together around games, right? Like that's one of the main kind of like core beliefs I have around content creation in terms of streaming, right? Like, I don't care who you are. I don't care, you know, what your race is, what your preferences are, what anything, your age, doesn't matter to me. What matters is that we enjoy video games and we can enjoy them together. And that's what brings us together, is games. And so to have that literally be at such a scale where you have this massive convention center on multiple floors, basically taking over this section of the city, where there's just people everywhere you go, and you're just there's just lines of people and rows of people, but everybody's just nice. Everybody's just courteous. Everybody is seemingly respectful, but also energized and turned on these games and on these platforms, on these people. It was a very unique and cool experience. I don't have a whole lot of convention experience. That was my first PAX, so I don't know if that's par for the course, but everybody, again, just the energy was very calm and positive and exciting and uplifting. And I think that was something that I couldn't have predicted. I've been in crowded areas before, right? Like sports games and stuff where you've got fans and it's just different energy. It was just a completely different energy. Like it was very calm. I felt safe. I was very relaxed the entire time I was there. I wasn't overwhelmed by the amount of people that were there, which, you know, I'm not agoraphobic. I don't get fear of crowds or anything, but I do get nervous when there's just a ton of people everywhere. And I get frustrated when you're like trying to like move and navigate through that. But most of that wasn't even there either. I think it would have made a big difference if I had my kids there, because I would have been, you know, on high alert to make sure I knew where my boys and my wife were at all times. But, you know, given that it was just me, it was easy for me to kind of let all that go and just relax and kind of enjoy the experience. So, you know, that was awesome. A couple other takeaways from a content creator perspective. PAX is a very odd show to network at because it's mostly about games, which is a double-edged sword. One, if you could have gotten a media pass, there were tons of people that were setting up meetings with these various companies. I didn't get a media badge because I either forgot or I didn't submit or I didn't get approved. I can't remember which one it was at this point because it was so long ago that you had to submit all that crap. But I didn't have that, so I wasn't setting up these meetings on my own. I was basically just reaching out to people and trying to network on the floor. And it seemed like that wasn't what people were expecting at that show. Most people were expecting just people to come and ask them about the game and to talk about the game. And a lot of these companies didn't have reps to talk to content creators about promoting games and things like that. It was a lot of reps that were just concerned with getting people to play the game and gather feedback and gather footage to promote their games, right? So it didn't seem like the perfect forum to do that. And what I have heard is that E3 is more of that space where people are talking about networking and promoting a lot more from an industry perspective, as opposed to kind of this PAX, which is really focused on the games. Either way, I think you're going to have certain hurdles no matter what, but it seems like from an industry perspective, if your main goal, which my main goal would always be going to these things, is to, you know, interact with your community and also network with these various developers and publishers and things like that, that E3 is probably the way to go. So from a show perspective, unless things change drastically and my wife decides that, you know, she wants to start traveling with me everywhere I go and bring the kids and we're going to have a fun time and make a vacation of it, which don't hold your breath. I think my main focus for shows is probably going to be E3. Also because E3 kind of hits a good time where it's summer. You know, my wife is off during the summers because she works at a school. And, you know, so we don't have to worry about a lot of stuff. There's a lot less logistics to have to handle in the summer. And it just makes life easier. And it's also easier to kind of save around that time too, because I'm not paying for daycare, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Whew. So that's a lot of stuff, guys, a lot of stuff around PAX, and I'm trying to go through my head, but you know, the takeaways again is if you're going to PAX, it was a beautiful experience. If you're trying to go there as a content creator and network, you know, make sure that you're applying for media badges if you're going to these PAX shows and make those connections through that, because there's a lot of facilitation that happens when you're a media badge holder that doesn't happen if you're just a normal average Joe, right? But if you're seriously looking to make a lot of industry contacts, I think PAX or E3 is probably your best bet from what I have heard from other people. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Just, I don't know. It was just the number one highlight for me was meeting everybody. Like, it was just meeting everybody. There's so many people. And you know, you would think, right? I've got nearly 18,000 follows at this point, and and have been on this platform for 2 years. So I just have interacted with a ton of different content creators and people and, you know, people from the community, you know, like Aurora came up to me the first day and she was very just polite and just kind of standing there. And I just looked at her and I was like, oh my God, what up? You know what I mean? Like, it was just nice to like see Aurora, because Aurora's been around the stream community for like forever, it seems, at least with me. You know, seeing people like Some Kenny, who's also been around my stream for so long, right? Like, so many people, just the amount of like excitement that was there when we would kind of like see, you know, be like, oh, is it you? Oh, that is you. Oh, I see you. You know, like, just really fun to be able to like, just see those, you know, see the people light up and kind of have this mutual excitement that was like, man, is this really you in the is this you in the flesh? You're a real person. You're not just on my screen. I can actually touch you. What up? You're real. You know, that it's that's never going to get old for me. I don't think. I think that's one of the coolest experiences ever that you can have is kind of connecting in that way and really kind of bringing that community feel to full circle, right? Where it's not just something that we're doing online. It's something that we actually get to embrace in person and really kind of, again, solidify that connection for me. But anyway, so I think that's it though for PAX, guys. PAX was a fantastic experience. I think there's a lot of amazing things that are going to happen for the channel due to what we did at PAX, and I will keep you posted on those. But, if you get a chance to go to those shows, both as a content creator, especially as a content creator, make sure you're applying for a media badge. If you're just going for fun, know that there's extremely long lines to play anything, like extremely long lines. Things are very expensive around the convention. The convention itself wasn't overly expensive to me. Like, lodging wasn't overly expensive. The flights were reasonable. You know, the tickets are reasonable. But like food and stuff like that is definitely like, you know, plan on like maybe finding a grocery store and trying to get yourself a loaf of bread, some PB&J for Pete's sake, because damn, what I wouldn't have killed for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, but yeah, things are just expensive around the convention. So, you know, make sure that you plan accordingly for that stuff as well. Just a lot of that incidental stuff can add up real quick. But yeah, guys, that's it. So this is going to be basically our pseudo nightly log / PAX breakdown. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I certainly enjoyed. I could not have gone to PAX without your guys' support. So I appreciate you and I thank you guys so much for supporting the channel, you know, both through subs and through tips, you know, and through just being there every day and being an awesome member of the community. This part of my life in its growth over time is something that I just continue to value and makes me so happy, on top of, you know, the other stuff in my life. It's just incredible where this has gone and the fact that it even exists. So I'm so humbled more than anything by this trip and excited to continue this journey and see exactly how far we can take this, guys. So I love your faces as always. If you have not followed the channel and you're listening to this going, wow, that guy's pretty cool, make sure you follow me on mixer.com/nighttide. Also, make sure you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Nighttide. And make sure you follow this podcast, the Nighttide Podcast, either at anchor.fm/nighttide or on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, all the places. All right. See you guys next time.